You're listening to the Naked Bible Podcast. To support this podcast, go to nakedbiblepodcast.com and click on the support link in the upper right-hand corner. If you're new to the podcast and Dr. Heiser's approach to the Bible, click on New Start Here at nakedbiblepodcast.com.
Welcome to the Naked Bible Podcast, episode 100, Celebration. I'm the layman, Trey Strickland, and he's the scholar, Dr. Michael Heiser. Hey, Mike, congratulations, 100.
Yeah, we made it. Can you believe that?
No.
100 episodes.
How time flies. It seems like just the other day we started doing it.
Yeah, just the other day I quit for the first time.
Only to be risen up again.
Yeah. No, it's quite a milestone. I don't know if I should say I'm surprised. I mean, I guess I'm not. I mean, once we kind of jumped in, we were committed to it, we'd get here eventually, and here we are.
No, yeah. And Micah, I just want to start things off by congratulating you and then also to thank you for letting me to be a part of this endeavor, because I'm just so honored to be a part of it. And
yeah, well, everybody should know it ain't happening without you. So,
well, I appreciate that. I also want to just say how touched I am to hear from our listeners. It was fun to have listeners send in their feedback and their recordings. And as you'll soon hear, I mean, this show reaches far and wide all over the globe. And it's exciting how just this show is helping and teaching so many people everywhere, not just United States, but literally every continent.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I get emails about the show from, you know, lots of different places, but you know, as time has gone on, they'll either tell me or I'll notice, you know, in the email address where they're at. And it's, yeah, I mean, I would never have guessed, you know, at the beginning of all this that, you know, we'd have listeners in some places that they need vowels, you know. It's just hard to even know where in the world that place is. And they're listening, they're getting the show, you know. It's, you know, and we all know what the internet is and this is how it works and whatnot, but until you're actually doing something and you see that people responding from just, you know, like you said, literally all over the world, it doesn't sort of hit you, you know, until you look at it.
Yeah. And it's amazing how far we've come over this last year or so with McLot forming up. And now we have infrastructure to help other nonprofits. The new website's coming out any day now. And with the formalization of that and McLot, I mean, other things are going to happen and speed up. And maybe the next 100th show, we'll have a episode 200. Maybe by that time we'll be hitting the road live, Mike. Maybe we'll take the show on the road and we'll do a live episode 200 in Russia or somewhere. Who knows where we'll
be. Oh, boy.
Would that be fun?
Yeah, well, that would be crazy.
Yeah,
well, yeah, I guess I shouldn't say that'll never happen, because I'd probably just get, you know, God would just knock me upside the head, you know. Well, you know, because I would have never thought this. So,
well, that would be fun. Secretly, that's my goal. Hopefully, maybe someday we can we can go out and do some live shows with a group of people, and I think that would be fun to do.
Yeah, that would be fun. I like, you know, live Q&A and live, you know, sort of that kind of thing. That would be fun.
Yeah, and for those, speaking of Q&A, I've gotten a lot of Q&A questions recently, and so I just want to let everybody that has sent me a Q&A, I have received every single one of them. I've put them all in the queue. It might be a few Q&As before your question actually makes it on air, so just know that I did get them. And also receives a lot of emails, Mike, about transcripts and things of that nature. And I want to remind people that you can go to the show's page, and there's a link in there with the transcripts and links to other documents that Mike references throughout the show. So don't forget to actually go to the show page and see those links associated with each show. And also with the new website, maybe that'll become a little bit more clear, but just know that there's a wealth of information beyond the audio. And we want to thank Mr. Tudor again for all the transcripts that he does. I mean,
absolutely.
That's an invaluable resource. And I know many people, as I've heard from them, really would like to extend a thank you to Mr. Tudor for that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And anybody else that's helped our show, other nonprofits that we're working with, Mike, that hopefully will be announced more so as time goes on. I mean,
the McLot thing has really, I mean, I could rattle off probably seven or eight things that are going on now that are related to McLaught and, you know, Mike's content that are, they're all in their infancy. They're all just beginning, but there are things in motion that, you know, tie into that. So down the road, another 50, another 100 shows, it might be a good benchmark, maybe even sooner than that. There, you will see things, you know, start to take shape. And it is one of the reasons why, again, I didn't anticipate it, but I see it clearly now that our webmaster Joe, you know, was the one who, after McLaught got approval, got IRS approval, he's like, oh, you need everything revamped. And I was like, okay, you know, but I mean, now I see it, as these things start to take hold, just like one example, you know, video, I blogged a motion graphic video that a guy named Sean Swanson, you know, created, you know, for me and really for you, for the listeners, for the users of the website on Israelite cosmology. I mean, that's his time. He's donating his time to do that. But we want to have, you know, more of those sorts of things. But with a new website, that'll all be integrated. It'll all be easier to find. It'll, you know, there's just going to be a lot of improvement to the site, and the podcast is part of that. Video is going to be part of that. And again, some of these other projects that relate to the content in some way, it's going to be a more convenient place to land and get exposed to those other things. And also when you come back to find them, you know, with tagging and whatnot. So it's improving. You know, I guess that's probably the best way to put it. We're still working on what we're doing. It gets better with time. We start to get a feel for what we are doing and what we should be doing, and it's developing. But there are a lot of things that are in process, again, that I can't really go into now because I don't really have anything to show people yet. But as those things become realities, they'll go up on the site. We'll talk about them here.
Yeah, that video is just one example of what we want to try to do more of, mm-hmm. and the donations that our listeners graciously donate helps produce and hopefully do more content like that. And the new website, we want it to be a center for all kinds of biblical research for this type of content. So you really can come and get the videos and the audios and the papers. And if you want to learn about this material more in depth, drmsh.com will be hopefully the go-to resource for that. And so with the new website, we're going to have a new ability to donate. So if you're thinking about donating right now, maybe they ask you hold off just for a few weeks until the new website comes up, and you can donate again on the new website that helps produce this content. And like, again, Mike, I remind everybody, we have enough listenerships that if everybody donated $5 a month, we would be able to produce content like that full time. And that would be really awesome.
Well, I'll give people just a hint at what we're thinking. Way back in the original McLaught post of December 22nd, 2015, I mentioned something about I would like to put all my content into video form, and something to the effect of I would like to create a sort of an MDiv equivalent of my own in short videos. If listeners go up to PragerU, PragerU.com, that will give you an idea of what we, just one thing, this is just the video element of McLaught, what we would like to create. But there are a couple hundred videos on this site. It's mostly political topics and whatnot. But as I've been looking at websites to try to get in my head, what is the kind of thing that, you know, what helps me visualize this, conceptualize what I'd like to do? I came across this site. So if you want an idea of what we could do in terms of video with the kind of content you get on the podcast and, of course, on the website, and not just Naked Bible stuff, you know, anything that I do, anything that I've done on websites in the past, this is the kind of thing that I want to see exist so that people can have access to, you know, really good content for free. But it takes, you know, money because it takes time. Time is money in a very direct way when you're doing something like we're trying to do with McLaught. But this helps you, I think, conceptualize the vision a little bit. Again, it's just one aspect, but it's a significant one. So PragerU.com. I'd love to have something like that living on my site with, again, biblical content, again, you know, focused on what we do here. Divine counsel stuff, we think outside the box, we're not tied to creeds. We're not filtering the Bible for you. We're not protecting you from your own Bible. But just to have hundreds of videos, you know, not just written content, not just the podcast, but have all that stuff live in the same place would be awesome.
Awesome, Mike. I don't want to wait another 10 years for Unseen Realm 2. I mean, people, you got to go to moreunseenrealm.com and see how much more content there is for another book. So I don't want to wait another decade.
Yeah, I have plenty of material.
Right. So we kind of need to.
Well, now you sound like people who say, I don't want another wait another 10 years for the next novel. I mean, and you're not. I don't think this is spilling the beans too much. That's the next thing on my plate. I'm working on a book now. When that's done, hopefully when we break into 2017, I'm going to be in novel mode. But the way things are right now, again, just with my time, and again, my time is directly related to, you know, how much, you know, how many donations, how much, you know, income I can replace, you know, to get back some of my time. It's a one-to-one correlation there. So I have to pick projects. You know, I'll do one or two or three projects a year. When I look at myself and I think I should be doing five or six. I mean, I look at one or two or three projects a year as kind of, well, I did something, but it still feels like failure. And I know it's not, but I'm just being honest with the audience. It feels that way because I know I could do twice as much. So I try not to think about that too much. And you just do what you can. I've operated that way for years. But now that I have a little taste of you know, producing content and it matters to people, you know, the Unseen Realm, I've gotten so much good feedback on that. And then the podcast, it just makes you want to do more. It doesn't want to make me sit back and, you know, read, you know, Sumerian grammars or something. It just, I want to produce things.
Well, I've gotten a lot of people asking me about it, and I've even asked you about it, that it's hard to get other people to listen to the show or read the material. And the only advice that I give myself and them is that people have to be ready and have their mind and heart open to receive this type of content. They have to want the ability to go down the rabbit trail and to dig a little bit deeper and not stay on the surface. And you can't force it.
Since you said that, I might as well throw this nugget out. We're waiting again for the final version of the website, you know, the overhaul to be done, because we're going to do something very specific in starting an email list. And it's not a big secret. We're going to start an email list. I don't have one at present. I know that probably shocks some people out there, but I don't. I never started one, never had one. But we're going to do that. We're going to ask for people for a zip code. And with that, we want to tie that to a forum that's going to live on the website so that you will know that if there are people living near you, maybe in your own town, maybe an hour from you, that also listen to the podcast or that subscribe to the blog. I mean, people who are like-minded in terms of the content and want to think about biblical content, you need to know if some of those people are like next door. So there are just things like this that are just lurking, waiting to be born, waiting to be launched. And again, it's moving along. I know it's slow, but there's actually movement and there are things happening, and you'll begin to see those things appear shortly.
Now, Mike, you used to have a newsletter. I remember you did have a newsletter at one point, right?
But I never captured email addresses. People would subscribe to that and I would just hand copy those things off PayPal and keep them in a Word doc. That's what I did.
Well,
I didn't have any technical, I not only didn't have the technical aptitude, I didn't even think that this was something that there was a technical solution for. I mean, I had no idea. You know,
my name's in there somewhere, so that would be.
Yeah. Well, that feels like ancient history now.
I know. It does. It seems so long, but yet it doesn't. Mm-hmm. It's weird. Now I'm here beating you in fantasy football. So.
Oh, you've come a long way.
All right. Well, let's get into these, Mike. We've got probably 25-ish maybe, and a few of them have some questions in them. Why don't we just get started here? And again, somebody is going to get a prize or a giveaway or something. We're going to randomly pick somebody here.
I can tell you what the title of the book is, too.
Oh, do we have why don't you go and tell us what it is, and then at the end of the show, we'll announce who won it.
Okay. Well, the book is called A Handbook on the New Testament Use of the Old Testament. and it's by G.K. Beale. Beale's sort of a noteworthy figure, noteworthy scholar in this field. But we do a lot of this here on the podcast, where we talk about how the New Testament links back into the Old Testament and also Second Temple Jewish literature. And Beale is heavily conversant with that material as well. So, you know, how does the New Testament repurpose the Old? The New Testament is an inspired commentary on the Old. So there's all these points of connections across the Testaments. So this is a little handbook to introduce people to this. It's a whole sub-discipline in biblical studies. So I thought this is perfect for people who listen to the podcast, because we just do a lot of this, and it'll be a nice introduction to it.
Okay, well, great. Well, one of these people will get that book. And I guess let's start with the first one here, okay? Mm-hmm.
Hey, Trey and Mike. My name is Mark, and I live in Fernandina Beach, Florida. I came across Mike's work years ago through a website called Sitchin is Wrong, and earlier this year, I picked up on his Unseen Realm. Read through the book while I was visiting my daughter in Los Angeles. Have talked with my brother numerous times about some of the things in the book, and picked up on the podcast not too long thereafter. My brother and I haven't made it through all 99 episodes yet, but we've had some great discussion between the two of us about the episodes we have listened to, either together or separately. I would like to ask a question for Mike, if it's okay to pose questions. I'm wondering if he's ever done any work or considered doing some work or future podcast regarding the sayings of Christ from the cross. I just think that his insight on that would be very instructional, informative, and interesting. Thanks so much, and really appreciate the work.
No, I've not written anything on that for the blog, and we've never covered it here in the podcast. And it's also there's nothing I've done on that in any books as well. So that's something I haven't touched.
Hi, Mike and Trey and everybody. I'm Daniel from Quebec, Canada. I found Mike through his work at Logos and Faith Life. Then I went on to his website, and I wasn't too impressed with what I saw. I felt it was too weird for me. I'm going to take a step back for now. Then Unseen Realm launched, and this book was the best reading time in my life. Suspense each morning and each night for weeks. It was deterring from some of my obligations, but I couldn't get half of it. And since then, I listened to all the podcasts. I read some papers. I took some mobile ed courses from Logos. What I like the most about Mike's content is the explanatory power it brings to all my frustrations in Bible reading. So my Bible reading leveled up. The content raised confidence in what I read in the Bible fits with what I heard from Mike. So I share about that in a limited manner for now with family and a smaller circle of friends. I plan someday, God willing, to slowly integrate useful context bits to my preaching and to small group Bible studies. I'm so happy to have found you. I thank you so, so much. And I leave you with two requests. The first one is, would you engage more with classic commentary positions? And the second one, Mike, please tell us, how do you see idolatry being lived every day in North America's culture today and in our Christian lives? Thank you.
Well, the first of these, I don't actually know what the questioner means. What is a classic commentary position, and a classic commentary position on what? You know, on a passage, on a verse, on a chapter? I can't put it any other way. The question's too vague to answer, so I don't really even know what he's asking. The second one about idolatry, I mean, I look at it this way. I mean, obviously, if for those who naturally have listened to me or heard Unseen Realm, I do not think that the gods who were worshipped in the Old Testament, you know, and across the Testaments, you know, in the biblical world, I don't think they're phantoms or non-existent. I think the person who engaged in idolatry had a real entity in mind, believed that they existed and worshiped them. So the key question becomes, well, why are they doing that? What is it about? And idolatry is always fundamentally about loyalty. Where are you assigning your loyalty, and why? And typically, you know, an idolater would do what they do because they assign power to something. They want something out of the relationship. They assign loyalty to it, you know, to this deity, and they expect something in return. And the return might be, you'll protect me. You'll make my life good. You'll help me, you know, you'll give us kids and children, or you'll, you know, my cattle, my herds will multiply, or something like that. There's always this personal gain kind of thing that is being solicited, you know, through idolatry. I throw my loyalty to this deity, and I expect certain things in return. And I think in modern culture, even if people don't believe in a spiritual world, and a lot of Christians, again, I'll be blunt, a lot of Christians don't believe in an active, animate spiritual world. They believe the Trinity. They believe that in this nebulous concept of angels, demons, and Satan, and they're just kind of somewhere, but they don't really do a whole lot. And I guess we have to believe in them because the Bible mentions them, and that's about it. But you know, so if you're in that camp, you don't really even accept the kinds of things that we're talking about in Unseen Realm. And even if you do, I think that we are guilty of the same kind of thinking in the modern world when we assume, again, we may not be so blatant like an idolater actually was, you know, sort of a real-time idolatry situation where I'm turning my back on the God of Israel and I'm turning toward this deity over here because I think this deity is going to be my protector, my help through life. I think we commit idolatry when we don't believe that God will meet our needs, when we don't believe that God is capable. In other words, when we don't believe that God is as capable of doing X as we are, or as some other relationship, you know, will make this happen. That is the spirit of idolatry, depending on something else other than the God of the Bible, okay, other than the Lord, assuming that some other avenue is preferable or will get better results. And that could even be you. Again, what I'm getting at here in answering the question is the spirit of idolatry. And I do see this a lot in modern culture. It's hard in our human nature to fight against it because we want, you know, we want to be self-sufficient. We don't want to be a drain on other people. We don't want to be dependent, you know, it be an inconvenience, whatever it is. And we kind of internalize this. We want to be responsible. And again, that feeling isn't bad, but ultimately when push comes to shove, where do you assign worth? I mean, who is it you're really looking to be your help and your guide and you know, the source of the good things in life that you need? All these sorts of big questions. Again, the spirit of idolatry assigns greater worth to someone else, either yourself or again, some other power, spiritual power, earthly power, whatever it is, other than the God of Israel. So I think that spirit is all too often, you know, evident in the way we approach life as modern people. We kind of divorce ourselves from dependence on God, because that's what an Israelite was asked to do. Believe who I am. You know, I'm the God of gods. Be loyal to me and worship no other. Assign worth to no other. Don't look to any other deity for any of these things that I have promised you or anything that you need. And when you did that, you were committing adultery, or not adultery, but idolatry in your heart. And unfortunately, a lot of Israelites committed literal idolatry through the worship of other gods, because that's what drove them to do it. They just thought that was a better choice than the God of Israel.
Take number 3289. Hello, Dr. Heiser and Mr. Strickland. My name is George, and I'm saying hello from Rosenberg, Texas. I'm a youth minister at my church, and we are currently going through the Bible with our student ministry. And this month, we find ourselves in the book of Leviticus. So your material on the Naked Bible podcast has been of great benefit to my studying. So I really appreciate that. All the content that you guys put out is great, and I thank you for making scholarly work so accessible to the common folk. I first found out about Dr. Heiser through the Ancient Aliens Debunked documentary on YouTube, but I really got more into your material, Dr. Heiser, when you appeared on Skywatch TV with Tom Horn. So that's how I found out about you. I wanted to throw in a quick question, or actually two. One, are you still teaching at Liberty University through their online courses for the Old Testament? And the second question is, if someone is pursuing a degree in ancient Israeli history and Semitic languages, which universities would you suggest looking into? If you could answer those questions, that would be awesome. And just wanted to say thank you again, and looking forward to all the future material you have to put out there. Thank you.
Well, the first of these is easy. Yes, I still teach as an adjunct at Liberty in their distance ed program. The second one, you know, about when it comes to, you know, where do I go to school for ancient Near Eastern languages and Hebrew Bible and ancient Near Eastern worldview and context, history and archaeology and all those sorts of things. I'm going to assume that the question is about graduate degrees, graduate school. The answer for undergraduate would be all these places I'm going to mention would be included, but if it's an undergrad situation, there would be more that's available. You really have to decide whether you want to kind of go the seminary route, because there are seminaries and there are divinity schools that can give you coursework and degrees in these sorts of fields. If it's a seminary, it'd be something like a degree in Old Testament studies or something like that. If it's graduate school, it's going to be, you know, Hebrew Bible, Semitic languages. They're going to have a wider variety of coursework in different languages than a seminary would. So you kind of have to look at programs and figure out what it is you want to do. But having said all of that, I don't think you should go anywhere unless you're funded, because all of these places are expensive. Okay, on the graduate school side, the obvious choices are Harvard, University of Chicago, Johns Hopkins University, UCLA. Has a good ancient Near Eastern Hebrew Bible sort of program. I think Michigan still has a program, but I don't think it's going to be at the level of the others that I mentioned there. I don't recommend Wisconsin, you know, for you know a range of reasons. The department is sort of in flux now, a bit of disarray there, but they might get their situation resolved. But there are other reasons why I would hesitate, you know, in that direction. If you want to know, email me. But those are sort of the major ones. Again, they're all expensive. Wisconsin is a little bit less so because it's a state school, but Harvard, Johns Hopkins, you know, that sort of thing. These are hard to get into. They're competitive. And if you get into them, they're going to be expensive. So you want to be in a situation where you get funding. You know, if it's Dead Sea Scrolls stuff, again, that's a little bit different, but the George asked about ancient Near Eastern materials. So those are that gives you an idea of some of the institutions. If it's a seminary route, Wheaton, again, has a good program. John Walton, you know, is obviously there, but he's not there. Dan Block's there. Again, I know a lot of the guys on the faculty there. It's a good program. They try to fund their students. They try to, you know, give them the, you know, financial support. So the same issue there. It's an expensive school. Wheaton's expensive, but again, they make an effort to fund their students. Trinity Evangelical Divinity School would be another choice. Some of the I always get these mixed up. There's a Southeastern and a Southwestern. There's lots of, you know, seminaries that are big in the Southern Baptist orbit that all sound the same, and some of them have doctoral programs. But since they all sound the same, I always get them mixed up. But there are a couple really good ones there. But you know, when you get a confessional a degree from a confessional school, you get a PhD from a confessional school, it narrows, you know, your employment options, or at least potentially does. And then there's European places again that are even more expensive, and you're not allowed to work, so you just have to be funded at those sorts of places. But there are a number of places you can go, but I don't think you should do any of them unless you get it paid for, because the job market is brutal. If you don't care about the job market and you're independently wealthy, well, then none of that really applies. Just get in. But it's not uncommon for a PhD to come out and apply for a job, and that one, you have six jobs appear in a year and 200 people are applying for each one. That is not uncommon. That is not an exaggeration. So if you have an MDiv and then you want to go on for doctoral work, you can fall back on the MDiv and do, you know, local church work, pastoral work, whatnot. I mean, that's something you need to be thinking about. But academically, that's the short list, I guess I would put it that way.
Hello, Mike and Trey. My name is Chris Belmonte. My mother is Jewish. My father is Catholic. They're divorced, long story short. Father's bad, mother's not bad. I'm sort of a convert to Christianity. After I got out of high school, I was kind of a deist, and I started seeking and found. I basically read rabbinic writings, Jewish writings. I read Christian writings and found that, well, the Christian writings were a little bit more Jewish than the Jewish writings, all things considered. Long, complicated process for me. I discovered Mike, I think, around 2013 because I was doing some research on the internet and to an extent in my university library, and I had come to some similar conclusions as Mike, although certainly I don't have the qualifications that Mike has. And so ever since I've been following Mike, I bought his Unseen Realm book, and I really appreciate the work that he has done in his quasi-ministry or ministry, I'm not sure what it's called. I really appreciate how much you've illuminated for me the prototype of the Trinity and how the Trinity is justified by basically a prototype thing in the Old Testament, which is made more explicit, more well-written in the Second Temple period. Well, if there's one question I could ask, it's what is it about, is there any linguistic evidence or anything like that which would suggest that Hieros, Gamos, or sacred prostitution, that the Canaanites believed that they were, would also have sexual rituals with the gods rather than just with each other? I don't know, I'm just curious, I've been starting to do research that on my own. Okay, well, thank you so much, and have a great day. And I hope your ministry becomes infinitely more successful than it already has become.
Well, Hieros Gamos, you know, sacred marriage, is related to, but not the same as, sacred or cultic prostitution. So, you know, sacred marriage has to do with it's typically an annual kind of ritual, whether it be Canaanites, you know, Semites, doing this sort of thing, or Sumerians or Akkadians or the Greeks and the Romans, whatever. It was typically an annual sort of event that had to do with the fertility of the land, fertility of the people, that sort of thing. Sacred prostitution or cultic prostitution carries with it the idea that you have priestesses, plural, that this is their job in the temple. That, you know, men are going to the temple, or, you know, or women, whatever, and engaging in sex with, again, these prostitutes, these priestesses, like it was some sort of tithe or, you know, sacramental regular thing that they were supposed to do. So they're actually two different things. And the second one is actually controversial. Was there legitimate sacred prostitution in the ancient world or not? Characterized by the way I just described it. Nobody doubts that there was sacred marriage ideas in the ancient world. So let's just, you know, fix on that for a moment. The question zeroed in on Canaanite. So I'll, you know, I guess I'll try to restrict a few brief comments to that. I don't know of any evidence where it was typically with the king or with the high priest who would perhaps. And again, I have to put it this way because we don't know in all cases if there was actual sexual intercourse or a sexual event in the quote-unquote sacred marriage ritual in a given place. I think it's fair to say that there certainly was, you know, in some cases, and there's a question mark on others. In other words, there are some cultures, some events, some rituals that might just use the language of sacred marriage, but there wasn't an actual sexual event that went with it. Again, sometimes there was, sometimes there wasn't. But anyway, I don't know of any evidence where the king, okay, or the priestess, or, you know, whatever, you know, woman that was engaged with the king in this ritual, whether it was the queen mother or somebody else, whether they that they actually really thought that, oh, I'm having sex with a deity now. The priestess was viewed as a stand-in, as the representative, you know, of the goddess, okay, and the king, the representative of the god. So sacred marriage is about reenacting a sexual relationship that was presumed to take place either at creation, there's your fertility idea, you know, or some other important stopping point along the way of, you know, the primeval divine activity that gave life to the world or something like that. So it was viewed as a reenactment. They knew each other were humans. You know, now you can't divorce from that. The notion, you know, let's just, you know, truck on over to Egypt, where it's the most clear, you know, where there was the belief that the pharaoh, you know, was Horus incarnate. Okay, well, you could have a priestess, I'm just speaking theoretically now, you could have a priestess engage in intercourse with the pharaoh. Well, she knows it's the pharaoh, and she also knows that if she gets pregnant, it's the pharaoh's kid. And the priestess might have, you know, her own husband or whatever, you know. I mean, they know what sex is, they know, you know, where babies come from and all this sort of stuff. You know, but there's this belief that could be attached to it that this person, this human being, like the god resides in them, or was himself the spawn of a god, or the god, you know, has come back in the form of this man. Again, but that's different than thinking that this person has no connection to the human world. In other words, totally otherworldly, and is just sort of appearing, kind of masquerading, you know, as a human being. That's a little you know, more nebulous, a little tougher to sort of establish. But again, just to wrap the thought up, these were viewed as reenactments, and again, people viewed the sacred priestess or whoever it was that might be part of the ritual as the stand-in, the proxy for the goddess or the god or whatever. But there's still the knowledge that this is a person that the god is either using or inhabiting or whatever.
Now, my name is Aaron Vaverka. I go by the handle Crew Juice inside social media. I use the Divine Council / Unseen Realm / Supernatural to help educate our church. We have a think tank here in Cleveland, Ohio, where we are using the teachings from Dr. Heiser. We also use them in apologetics. I help run an apologetics community in Google+, and I've also helped Dr. Heiser launch a Google+ community there as well. So with the Michael S. Heiser Research Center, you can find that in Google+, where Vincent Artella Jr. and myself, we help him run it, and we try to help answer questions when it comes to Dr. Heiser's work. We've already seen some book sales and people getting into Memra. So that's already been helpful. And we link back to that into other Google+ communities and also Twitter and such. So it's been very good for me, both with my church, in apologetics. And I can't say enough how much I appreciate his teachings, his instruction. I mean, it's just awesome. So this is my voice clip, and I hope to talk to you soon. Bye.
I'm Bill, and I'm from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Really, Mike, did you miss the class in college where they teach you there's certain things that you really shouldn't talk about? Well, that's how I found you. I was interested in UFOs and UFO-related things, and you had spoken at a UFO conference in Roswell, and there were postings on the internet. So that's how I found you. Being a Christian, that really piqued my interest. So I followed you over to your website, and at the time you had some PDFs on Divine Council theology. So that's kind of the trail that I began to follow. And eventually you started the podcast. So that's how I ended up here. I really enjoyed the Leviticus study. That's something I, you know, 35 years in the church, I've never had a pastor that attempted to tackle that. So it was really extremely useful. So keep up the good work. There's lots of us out here who are really getting a great benefit from from what you're doing.
Hi, my name is Bobby from Marietta, Georgia. I found Mike's six-hour lecture on Gnosticism, which led me to his website, which then led me to the Naked Bible podcast. I listen to the podcast during my daily commute to and from work. I thoroughly enjoy the content, the various content, the guests that he has invited have been enlightening. I like the book recommendations and the scholarly perspective that Mike has, and I like to share a lot of that contact with friends, family, and many of my brothers at church. So, guys, you're doing a great job. Keep up the good work. Thanks. Bye.
Hello. My name is Chad from San Antonio, Texas. I've been enjoying listening to Dr. Heiser's The Naked Bible podcast show for quite some time now. I thought Trey's idea of having the listeners provide some audio feedback to the show an interesting one. As I wondered about a good way for me to provide that feedback, I settled upon something similar to an interview process. I thought of a list of questions I would ask someone who listens to the show regularly and then provide my feedback in the form of answers to those questions. The first question I would ask someone is, how did you hear about the podcast? To which I would respond, I found Dr. Heiser's podcast after having visited his website. I found his website by doing some internet research after having watched a documentary on the History Channel called Ancient Aliens. The premise put forth by that show was so bizarre that I simply had to do some research into its viability. Its premise, for those unfamiliar with the show, is that a race of aliens from somewhere beyond our solar system, or perhaps from the planet Nibiru, had visited the Earth and provided early mankind with technical assistance and or know-how in building some of humankind's most famous ziggurats, including the pyramids of ancient Egypt. Furthermore, the visitations provided a better explanation for the early religious and spiritual texts, which identify encounters with gods and angels, including some of the Old Testament books, than what could be found in those texts. If you have seen the show, and you know that this position is promulgated by Eric von Daniken and a fellow by the name of Giorgio Tsoukalos, who at the time had a hairdo like Vir Koto from Babylon 5, and apparently operates a fringe archaeology journal. That research led me to Dr. Heiser and his website. Another question I thought would be a good one to ask a listener is, why do you listen to the podcast? I would answer that I listen to the podcast because it provides me with an opportunity to have a guided study of the Bible and allied topics. It's an opportunity to engage in what the ancient Greeks referred to as skole, and to do so with material that isn't frivolous, but that matters a great deal to your eternal well-being. The hard work of identifying what to study is done for you. You can use those episodes as springboards into deeper research than the hour to hour and a half long episodes will provide. There have been several times where I needed to do my own research regarding material that is presented in the podcast so that I get a more well-rounded understanding of the topic. For example, when Dr. Heiser was discussing difficult topics like the Divine Council worldview of the ancient Near Easterners, the Rephaim, the Nephilim, and other such topics. Put more plainly, the topics are weird and alien to the thinking of a modern churchgoer and probably wouldn't be given even so much as a whisper if discussed at all in a church setting. I like that, though, because it challenges you to think further. The most simple description of the show as a whole that I can devise, I would say that the Naked Bible podcast makes you think for yourself about the Bible and to do more than merely read it, and that is why I continue to listen. A final question I would ask a longtime listener is, what is missing from the podcast, if anything, that would make it even more enjoyable? This question is hard to answer, mainly because I don't feel I have a deep enough knowledge of the subject to know what is missing. In other words, I know just enough to know that I don't know nearly enough. Similar to what I was discussing earlier, I like the Q&A episodes and interviews about what I call the hard stuff. That is, those topics that aren't easy to reconcile with whatever you may have been taught in a Sunday school class or studied in a small group setting, or maybe read in some publication from a mega church pastor that was written for popular consumption. I like the episodes where I can do my homework because Dr. Heiser leaves a breadcrumb trail for you to follow. For instance, Dr. Heiser has mentioned in several episodes that resources that a listener can use to further their own studies on a topic or topics presented during the episode. Resources such as the Dictionary of Deities and Demons in the Bible, or the Baal Cycle, for instance. He then connects those resources back to the worldview of the ancient Near Easterner at the time they are producing the books of the Bible, and explains why it is important to consider those resources as part of the larger contextual framework. It's those sorts of episodes where, after having heard Dr. Heiser lay out a very plain case for why First Enoch would have been in the minds of Paul and Peter at the time they were writing their epistles, and you wonder why you didn't already know that bit of contextual information. And you then lament the fact that it just wasn't taught to you by your church. I think more podcasts that leave those sorts of breadcrumb trails and point the listener to resource materials for independent study would be very beneficial. More episodes that help the listener to develop a sense of how they can identify what the appropriate context for a particular book of the Bible would be, or worldview of that particular book's author. Thanks so much for taking the time to do these podcasts. I hope that you're able to continue generating these programs, and that you're blessed in return for helping to elucidate what is true, good, and beautiful.
My name is Chris from Grand Rapids, and I first became aware of Mike's material while I was reading a blog post at another website that had linked to Mike's website, and I think it was on Romans chapter 5, and I was just really intrigued and kind of blown away by what Mike was saying about that text that I had never really thought about before. And as I began to look around the website, what struck me was that Mike was providing a level of scholarly content that rarely makes its way to the Christian masses. I actually have a seminary degree, but I have to say that even at the seminary level, at least the master's level and the seminary that I was at, much of what I was getting was content filtered through a particular confessional bent. And that's not all bad, but I really wanted more than that out of my seminary experience. Since discovering Mike's websites and his content, I've been poring over his books, Unseen Realm, 60-Second Scholar books that he's put together, and just really enjoying those. I'm actually using the Supernatural book as a morning devotional for my two daughters before taking them to school, and that's just been a lot of fun. And I really believe what Mike is doing here is very important. He's filling a very large gap that I perceive in evangelicalism today. I'm very concerned about the state of things as I see conservative Christians becoming more ignorant of biblical content and hermeneutics on the one hand, but at the same time holding a more rigidly traditional view of certain readings of Scripture that have very little support in the text itself. So I see Mike's material as a great remedy for this problem that I see. So, I continue to recommend Mike's stuff to other people, and I'll continue to do that because it's just really great content. It's very quality. Keep up the good work, guys. Thank you so much, and God bless.
Hi, Dr. Heiser and Trey. My name is Doug Overmeyer, and came across the Naked Bible podcast a few years ago. I had discovered Dr. Heiser's dissertation while researching sort of the unseen realm and spiritual things in the Old Testament as a way to try to understand the New Testament and also the world we live in, just from a sort of a spiritual warfare standpoint. And I definitely come from a charismatic background, and I've just found this Naked Bible podcast so helpful in sort of grounding my theology in the Word. And I've listened to the podcast mainly when I'm mowing the lawn or when I'm going for long drives, not with my wife, because she says, "Do we have to listen to this?" But that's just because I'm a nerd and she's not. She's way cooler than I am. But anyway, so I appreciate what you guys are doing. Looking forward to the next 100 episodes.
Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Eddie Smith from Napa, California. First and foremost, congratulations on 100 episodes. Quite the accomplishment. I am a newer listener. Came across Dr. Heiser a couple months ago on a Canary Cry radio podcast, and I have just dove headfirst into all of your material, good sir. It is quite the ride. I'm so thankful that you found time to step down from Upper Earth to Middle Earth and pass some of the knowledge that you have acquired through your years of study. It has been such a blessing, and I'm just amazed at how God is working through you and, you know, truly sharing everything that the Bible really has to offer. I've actually been put on my heart to start a discipleship church where we just serve all meat, no potatoes, maybe a glass of milk. But as you've mentioned before, these self-help sermons, while they're good for certain aspect, I believe we're coming to a time where we need true discipleship, true soldiers, and to regain that fierce Christianity of the first century, because, yeah, it's just where my heart's at and what the Lord has put on my heart. So I will definitely be using some of your resources. Of course, when the time comes, we can discuss royalties and maybe seminars or something. But once again, thank you so much for all that you guys do. And since I am a new listener, I believe now I got 76 more episodes of just grade A content to dig through. So thank you guys, and God bless, and continue fighting the good fight.
My name is Jeff, and I am from Virginia. And I would say that my first introduction to the idea of the divine council, though at the time I was not familiar with that terminology, probably was about 10 years ago, just in reading through some of the pseudepigraphal writings and seeing bits and pieces of the idea, but again, not fully understanding how it all fit together. And then around 2010, I acquired a copy of a book called The Forgotten Heavens. And in it, it's a book of six essays, and in it was one by Evan Wilson called The Governing Princes, which deals mainly with the idea of Satan being just one of these princes that rules over the nations. That was quite intriguing, and 2 years ago, when our pastor was away, they asked me to fill the pulpit, and I turned that essay from that book, expanded it, and turned it into a sermon, which I knew it was a little out there, but did not realize just how far off the beaten path this topic was at the time. Anyway, it confused some people. It was met with some opposition. The pastor was taken back by it a little bit, but found that about a week later, he had started studying the issue and was kind of blown away by the information and how it tied into the scripture. And somewhere along that line, somebody said, "Hey, have you ever heard of Michael Heiser?" And we started looking into it there. And next thing you know, we are reading the books and reading the material and listening to the podcast. And now it becomes part of our weekly thing that we listen to the broadcast and the podcast there and compare notes and talk about it. And it's become a real blessing in expanding our knowledge on these issues. And it's just been great since then. And now we belong to the cult that is known as followers of Michael Heiser. Anyway, great stuff. Keep up the good work.
Hi, my name is Kenneth. I'm an Army chaplain from Fort Hood, Texas. I've been following Mike and the podcast since just about the beginning. I first discovered the Naked Bible in 2011 after I came home from a tour overseas in Afghanistan. One of my soldiers was telling me about some of his beliefs, which include ancient aliens, that kind of thing. So I figured I needed to find out more about it. I looked online, and that's when I discovered Mike, the Naked Bible, and eventually the podcast. So I've been listening through all two or three versions of the podcast. I've enjoyed every one. They've taught me a lot. And how do I make use of the content? Doing a Bible study with my soldiers here at Fort Hood, as well as preaching and sermons, that kind of thing. And I try to include whatever I can of the Divine Council worldview in that, and basically it helps me to learn how to plumb the depths of Scripture, especially in the ancient Near Eastern context, so I can show people, hey, this is what's going on, and even the parts of Scripture that you don't understand, this is what's going on behind the scenes, and it makes a lot of sense that way. I've enjoyed the majority of what Mike has done work-wise, and there's a lot more I have to read, obviously. But it is a journey that has been amazing and wonderful to be on. So I'm very thankful for all this and to be on the podcast now. So y'all enjoy. Thanks. God bless.
Hello, folks. Trey and Michael, congratulations on 100 episodes. This is Michael from Norfolk, Virginia, and I just want to thank you for your podcast. I first heard it through another podcast. It could have been Conspiranormal or perhaps Canary Cry Radio. I'm not sure. Maybe another one. Anyways, I enjoy your podcast, and I look forward to it each time, and just want to congratulate you guys. I noticed in the book you use the Lexham English version for your quotes, yet on the air you read from the English Standard Version. I'm curious if there is to a reason why. And in the same vein, I do have a question. If you were to pick your five favorite Bible translations, not necessarily the best, but your five favorite ones, what would they be and why? All right. Congratulations on 100 episodes, and have a great day. Bye.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Trey. This is Nathan. Just wanted to let you guys know you've got some loyal listeners here in the weird city of Portland, Oregon. My wife and I love your podcasts. We love your books. We love all the content you offer. Because of you, we are definitely not afraid of our Bibles. We first heard of you, Mike, through Chris White and Ancient Aliens Debunked. Also, some of his other books that reference the Divine Council. Through those, we were directed to your website. We like to use your content to encourage those in our Christian circles to tell them that the Principality of Portland is nothing compared to the power of Jesus Christ. We also have 2 young boys, 3.5 and 1.5. We're super excited to be able to teach your content to them, to mold their worldview, to mold their spiritual worldview and their biblical worldview, to teach them that the true battle is between the gods over the souls of men, and it really is about allegiance, and we can only gain victory in Jesus Christ. We like handing out your supernatural books to people who are interested in that kind of topic. Really opens doors to conversations, and we kind of consider that a ministry. Of late, I'm super impressed with your YouTube video, the animated one about ancient Israelite cosmology. Whoever did that for you, top-notch work, super high quality. Can't wait for more. In fact, I think your next animated video should be about the head coverings of 1 Corinthians 11. Just wanted to say happy 100th episode from Nathan, Liz, Peter, and Daniel.
My name is Peter. I'm from Bellingham, Washington. I discovered Heiser's work a couple years ago. I was doing a word study on firmament, and it led me to the realization that the ancient Israelites had a totally different understanding of the universe than we do. And I was just processing through the nature of inerrancy and inspiration, and really struggling, and Heiser's work helped me tremendously in that. I started listening to the podcast about a year ago, and it's just constantly been pushing me to take the Second Temple context, the Old Testament context, and the ancient Near Eastern context far more seriously, which, of course, has been a lot more work in studying the Bible, but it's already started to pay off for me in my personal Bible studies and in teaching, you know, just giving me a more accurate understanding of the passages that I'm studying.
Hi, my name is Robert Moores from Little Rock, Arkansas, and I actually found the Naked Bible Podcast through Dr. Mike Heisler. I've always followed his work, and I've always been impressed by what he does. I remember years ago, I was trying to start off preaching and teaching, and I didn't know what I was doing. And so one particular time after I got through preaching, the leaders of the church came up to me and said, "Robert, you know, you have no continuities. You ramble and you shock people." And I said, "Thank you." Well, I knew I had a problem. I didn't know what it was, and they just pointed out to me for free. So, hey, you know, what am I to do? So I took responsibility for that, and I went to Mardell's Bible Bookstore, and I found this product called Libronics. And anybody that's been a part of Faith Life for a very long time know that they started off at one of their platforms as Libronics. And so that's like having Dr. Heisler in the box. And so I was very impressed with his work. He's a scholar for the layman, and he really deals with the stories of the Bible. He doesn't know this, but Dr. Heisler is the reason why I married the wife of my dreams. I was struggling with marriage, divorce, and remarriage, and I needed some answers, and I reached out to Dr. Heisler, and he took the time to break all of that down for me. And 6 months later, me and my wife was married. And so that is a direct result of the work that he does, the compassion that he has, and the real-time care that he gives in everything that he does. He cares about people. And so he told me about the Naked Bible Podcast. And I come from an ultra-conservative background. My wife comes from an ultra-liberal background. And the Naked Bible Podcast brings us somewhere in the middle. And so I'm able to have fellowship with my wife. I'm able to have the wife that I have, all because of this man's work. And so I love you, Dr. Heisler. And wherever you go, I'm going to try my best to be there.
My name is Nathan Lumen. I'm from Lubbock, Texas. I came across Naked Bible through internet spam, actually. A buddy of mine who's in seminary, who actually introduced me to critical scholarship, he was on Facebook one day, and he found a link to Dr. Heiser's Unseen Realm plug on the sharpening. And our lives have never been the same since. I love Naked Bible Podcast because it breathes life into dusty old scripture. We are excited about the Bible in ways we never thought possible. Most importantly, Dr. Heiser respects the text. He doesn't say outlandish things to get his name out there. He weighs the evidence, and if there's multiple interpretations, he'll give them both. We've used the podcast and Unseen Realm in our Bible studies. I've sent Naked Bible Podcast links to my pastor and family members. I think so far I've purchased 9 copies of Unseen Realm for prisoners, pastors, seminary professors, neighbors, family members. The list goes on and on. There's nothing else like this online. It's actually incomparable. This week I conducted an experiment, and I was trying to find other podcasts to compare it to, and they don't exist. There's no other scholar out there that produces this high quality of content. An hour to an hour and a half of material every single week. That does not exist, which is why I encourage everyone to give to MCLOT as much as possible. If Dr. Heiser can do this in his free time, imagine what he can do full throttle. Please give to MCLOT as much as possible. Trey, Dr. Heiser, thank you so much for all that you guys do. You all have been completely life-changing. I appreciate it.
Hi, Trey and Mike. It's Robin here from New Zealand. I found the Naked Bible podcasts after reading Unseen Realm. Love the information, and I'm sharing it with many of our friends that whilst believing in Jesus, don't go to church, and they're finding their life has been revived. Their spiritual life has just really kick-started, as has ours, since finding this new information. Thanks heaps. Bye.
Hi, Mike and Trey. My name's Stephen Dewar, and I'm from Fife in Scotland, the United Kingdom. I'd just like to say thank you very much for the hard work that you guys and the time that you guys put into the podcasts. Thank you very much, Mike, for the books. I started reading the free one that you had posted a good few years ago, and now The Myth That Is True. I read that 5 times. And I've devoured the websites and the podcasts and any links that you have put on to other people that write about it. To be honest, I had started to read about books on the Nephilim, etc., etc., and that's how I came across Mike's material, which I'm so glad and thankful to the Lord for. And it makes my Bible study so much more interesting. I've tried sharing it with the book with my pastor and some of my friends at church, and it's difficult. They say, yeah, I'll read it, but you know that they've got a pile of books, because I've got a pile of books that I want to read but never get around to, so usually it just gets put on that pile. But I'm trying to encourage people to read it, and when I talk about it, you can see it just going over their heads. I'm actually a Sunday school leader here, from teaching ages 3 to 12, and I do try to put some of that material in. So getting them at this young age is pretty good. Anyway, thanks for all the hard work, guys. Bye.
Hi, Mike and Trey. This is Steve McHenry from Valencia, California. I found the podcast because I've been following Mike's work since probably 2005, 2006, somewhere around there. I actually found him back when I was following Guy Malone's work, and also Sharon and Derek Gilbert on PID Radio. I've listened to them since they first started their podcast back in 2005. I've seen all of Mike's lectures from the Roswell UFO conferences and all that stuff. So really enjoyed what he was doing, and been following ever since. Basically, the podcast is my church. The churches in my area are either the social, gospel, seeker-friendly, mega church type of establishments, or they're very, a lot of charismatic churches in town. So not a whole lot of choices where I'm at. So basically, this is my church, and just want to say thanks. Keep up the great work, and I'll be listening.
Hi, Trey. Hi, Mike. I'm Tabani from Zimbabwe, Africa. I'd like you gentlemen to know that I immensely enjoy each and every single episode of the Naked Bible Podcast. I'm currently unchurched. I haven't found a community that I can comfortably integrate in. And what the Naked Bible Podcast is doing is it's become a virtual community where I can learn and study scripture. And I'm actually beginning to learn how to read scripture and to study it on my own. Keep up the good work and may God richly bless you.
Hello and good evening. My name is Trevor Page and I've listened to the Naked Bob podcast for only a little while now, but I went back and listened to the archives, all of them. And Dr. Michael Heiser is a very well-educated individual. You all really should heed his teachings and draw from them. His stuff is top-notch. It's well-researched and well-studied and peer-reviewed in his field. And he does great work. So y'all listen up, stay tuned, and be blessed.
Hey, Trey. Hey, Dr. Heiser. This is Vincent from New Jersey. And I came across, Dr. Heiser, I came across your work, I guess it was around 2011. And, you know, I began to realize right away that I had a lot of work to do, didn't take my own Christianity seriously. So that was, you know, real humbling. So thank you for that. How I use your content, Dr. Heiser, is obviously I talk to as many people as I can here in Northeast New Jersey. And you're right. Sometimes when you speak to people regarding divine counsel and all the related material, you get looked upon like you have a couple of heads. And so whenever I hear you say that, you can't help but kind of smile and laugh. And I also use your material through my own WordPress account. And I also help Aaron out with the Dr. Heiser Research Center on Google Plus. And, you know, I, like a lot of folks, just like to thank you very much for everything that you do, how easy and digestible you make it. And, you know, as easy and digestible as you make it is a springboard for deeper, richer Bible study. So, again, thank you very much. God bless you.
Dear Mike and Trey, my name is Jimmy, and I live and work in the Netherlands. About 5 years ago, I saw a video on YouTube in which Mike explained an approach to the first three verses of Genesis chapter 1, with which I wasn't familiar at all. From here on, I started visiting the old-style Naked Bible website and discovered more approaches to various topics like the Nephilim, inspiration and inerrancy, and the meaning of Romans 5:12, which all captured my attention. I've been an interested follower of the podcast since the episodes on the Book of Acts, and one of my favorite episodes to date is the one on the head covering of 1 Corinthians 11. In the small Bible study group I attend, we have addressed this topic, and I can say that it made a lot of hairs rise up in amazement. Anyhow, I hope you guys will be able to continue and expand this good work that you are doing. God bless.
Hey, my name is John. I drive a truck for a living. My friend got me into the podcast maybe 6 months ago or so, maybe less than that. I've almost run through them all. I love them all. The knowledge that I learn and gain from them is very informative. It's insightful. It seems to be non-biased. I use it with my friends, you know, in conversation. I have a small group of friends, 3. And when we get together, normally we talk about, you know, the Lord our God and the peace he brings, the laws and just all the events and how we use it through our daily lives. I've been fortunate that my friend has introduced me to you, Dr. Mike Heisner, and just to listen, you know, and you know, the as well as your guests, and as well as Trey, to listen to you, Trey, and your insights and your other guests' books and knowledge, and it's beautiful. It's a pleasure. It's an honor. It's very insightful. It brings me peace, actually, and I couldn't be more thankful. So praise God for, you know, people like y'all. And I hope y'all continue forever and ever doing what y'all are doing. You know, I mean, I guess in that sense, shalom aleichem, and awesome work, guys. Awesome. Lehit ra'ot.
My name is Chris Jones. I am a missionary. I use Dr. Heiser's material to help me with my translation efforts, Bible translation, material, like Bible lesson development. My team and I live in a remote Stone Age, basically, tribe of hunters and gatherers, the Pei tribe in Papua New Guinea. We've learned their undocumented language and since developed an alphabet, literacy program, textbooks, all that stuff to teach these Pei guys how to read and write in their own language, with the intention, hopefully, of one day planting a completely indigenous church in the Pei tribe among the Pei people group for the first time in recorded human history. So pretty excited about that. And long story short, our team has realized that the Pei tribe's totemic animistic worldview is a lot closer to the original authors of scriptures worldview than our postmodern, really Western cosmology worldview it actually is. And so we've learned to kind of step back a little bit and try to recognize our own cultural baggage before we put pen to paper with any translation or lesson development. And it's been super helpful to help us contextualize the meta-narrative of scripture for the Pei tribe. So I really want to thank you guys for the work you're doing. Yeah, I heard about Heiser's The Naked Bible podcast through Heiser's other blogs and stuff, and have since attended a couple of events. But yeah, so read nearly everything Dr. Heiser has published, and have loved just about every minute of it. And so really thankful to the work for the work you guys are doing. So keep it up, and I'll be supporting Miklot, and yeah, praying for you guys hardcore. So,
well, Mike, that was awesome to listen to everybody call in. We appreciate it. It's fun to hear from everybody. We also have a winner here. I'm going to pull somebody's name out of hat here randomly. So are you ready?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Okay, here we go. Looks like we got a Bobby from Marietta, Georgia is the big winner. So Bobby, I will send you an email. I'll reach out to you to get your address. And looks like you got a book coming your way.
Yeah. And again, the book is Handbook on the New Testament Use of the Old Testament. The subtitle is Exegesis and Interpretation. It's just an introduction to the use of the Old Testament in the New. A short book. Let me just get, it's about 150 pages of text. So not hefty, but again, just a good introduction to the subject. And it's something we do and talk about all the time here.
All right. Well, good deal. Mike, what's going to happen next week?
Well, we're going to be, yeah, people might want to sit down for this. We're going to be talking about eschatology. We'll do a couple of episodes related to, dare I say, end times, but I can be more specific. We're going to be talking about the concept of the tribulation period and how that, again, I don't want to give away too much here, but sort of how Jesus preaching, how the tribulation period was sort of cast, that's a good way to put it, cast in the Gospels. And I think for the most part, again, I'm not going to say in its entirety, but for the most part, the concept of tribulation refers to the lifetime of the apostles. And there are ways to discern that in the way Jesus talks about certain things, and again, just the concept. So we'll focus on the tribulation. What is that? Talk about how, again, that might affect the way we look at certain other concepts in eschatology. And also, using that discussion about the tribulation and sort of the time of Jacob's trouble, the whole concept, and how that relates to the relationship of Israel and the church, specifically in Romans 9 through 11. So that's going to take us two episodes. I figure we can cover that material. So the next two times, it's going to be something rare, Mike's going to be talking about eschatology. Everybody knows how much I love eschatology. Ha ha.
Well, eventually we're going to have to cover Revelation. So,
yeah, well, that'll be like the last thing we do in the podcast. Our 800th episode.
Well, we've got to get to it eventually. So,
yeah. Yeah,
this
boy.
Will be a little teaser, I guess. Maybe.
And am I looking forward to that? Let me tell you.
All right. Well, Mike, again, I just want to congratulate you on 100.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I mean, it wouldn't be possible if you hadn't stepped up and volunteered to do it. Right. We would still be at episode 33 in the dustbin of history.
Well, I appreciate it. No, it's fun. I enjoyed it. I look forward to it, and the amount of information that we've put out there over the year, I think, is invaluable. And I think throughout history, people are going to be listening to this show, Mike, 1,000 years from now.
Yeah, like I said, maybe we will get to eschatology.
There you go. And I would like to go ahead and apologize to the future people 1,000 years from now for all my bad jokes. And
you should apologize now. Is.
No, these people have to suffer. Oh, well. All right, Mike. Well, I want to congratulate Bobby from Georgia again for winning that book. And I want to thank everybody who sent in a recording. That was fun to hear everybody.
And yeah, it was great.
Again, congratulations. 100. It's a big one. So I guess I'll see you next week at 101.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Right. We'll start another 100.
Thanks for listening to the Neck of Bible Podcast. God bless.
Thanks for listening to the Naked Bible Podcast. To support this podcast, visit www.nakedbibleblog.com. To learn more about Dr. Heiser's other websites and blogs, go to www.drmsh.com.